He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and he carried the cross. Love so
Cast
cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree.
All right, I'm going to have you greet each other here in a minute, but I'm going to challenge you for a second. If there's somebody in your section whose face you know but whose name you don't, go say hi to them. Say, I should know your name by now, man. What's your name? So take a minute and greet one another before we get rolling here. What's that? Me?
Michael Joseph.
I'm a Michael Joseph. Oh. All right, if you have your Bibles, you can open to Revelation chapter 1, please. Again, we do this in remembrance of him, and there's a lot of things to remember about the death of Christ. So these communion nights, I like to just pick one, kind of look at it in the beginning to give us something to think about and to meditate on as we continue to praise him and kind of move through the night. And we'll do it early before you hold the stuff in your hands and you don't have to juggle things now. So Revelation chapter 1, beginning in verse 5, John says this: "And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." John here introduces us to Jesus Christ, particularly in verse 5, where he says, "To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." To him. And he talks, if you say him, who's him? We're like, Jesus. Yes, we know it's Jesus. But it isn't just Jesus to John. Notice what he lists about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Savior, the Anointed One. But he's also the faithful witness. That is the faithful, the word there has the idea of martyr. He was the ultimate witness all the way up to the point of death. The perfect witness, even to the point of death. He was the firstborn from the dead, which we just looked at in Luke. He was the first to rise out from among the dead. They had their hopes in Jesus. We saw the two men on the road to Emmaus, Cleopas and his friend. Their hopes were dashed. We had hoped he had been the one. And then all of a sudden, they see resurrected Jesus Christ, the firstborn from the dead. And they realize, this one is the one who died for us. This is the one who gave himself. The ruler over the kings of the earth, the one who has all authority and all power. This is the one who loved us. You know, it is nice to be loved. It's nice to be appreciated. It is nice if the person that loves us, we feel like, is important. You get a shout out from somebody who's somebody you see as famous or well-known. People like that type of stuff. Well, the king of all the kings of the earth is the one who loved us. It's not just Jesus. When we really understand who he is and then understand that he's the one who loves us, the one who's the center of all heaven and earth, and that's the one who loved us, man, that's a pretty incredible thing to remember, particularly in a world that's really cold. And there's not a lot of love out there. To know that you mean something to Jesus Christ is pretty remarkable. That he loves you. And love acts. Love does something. Love thinks. Love visits. Love suffers. Love blesses. Right? Two people, again, they fall in love. What happens? They're thinking about that other person. They're thinking about whether that other person is thinking of them. Their thoughts are moving toward this other individual. The scriptures say his thoughts are more than the sand on the shore toward us. Love visits. Love wants to be with. Love wants to be present, that person that we love, that we care about. We want to be present in their life. We want to be near them. We want to spend time with them. If we're happy being distant from somebody, we're not actually loving that person. He left heaven for earth. He became the Son of Man. God became a person so that we could know him, so that we could see him, so that the fullness of the Godhead could be obvious bodily, so that he could look at Thomas and say, "How long have I been with you and still you don't know me?" Jesus became incarnate. He came near us. He visited us. He suffered. Love suffers. Love's willing to give things up. Certainly on a practical level, people fall in love. They're willing to give up friendships, willing to give up dreams, willing to open their wallet and spend money, change habits. They're willing to surrender things. Then you have a love of a friend who is willing to lay down his life, or a parent who will give their life. You have love that is willing to surrender and suffer. And what do we see in Jesus? Humbled himself, became of no reputation, suffered, was broken, shed his blood. It's not just words that he loves us. That this one is willing to think about us, that this one is willing to come visit us, that this one is willing to suffer and be grieved and wounded for us. And love blesses. Love speaks well. Love wants to encourage. Love wants to build up. And here's John sitting in a prison, chained up some rocky island. And he's saying he made us kings and priests. Totally changed who we are. The hope that we have. What hope would we have outside of his love in our lives? You can have certain desire for something, but the reality is, if we didn't have him and this hope that he gave us, what would our lives be about? Making a little bit of money? Hacking our way through the week so that we can enjoy the weekend? Maybe retire early and then die, and what's it all for? What does it all mean? Outside of the hope that we have in him, that he loved us enough to give us that hope. To him who loved us, he secured our life, our resurrection, our glory. He's the one who did that. That exalted one loves us. And John also wants to throw in here, notice, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. We are all stained by sin. Nothing defiles like sin. Sin doesn't just offend God, and it doesn't just hurt other people. Sin hurts us. Sin leaves a mark and a stain, a scar on bodies and minds and spirits. Sin is wounding. And how can that be dealt with? Paul would encourage the Corinthians to be cleansed from all filthiness, he says, of the flesh and of the spirit. Filthiness of the flesh means filthiness of these outward actions, things we know well, sexual sin, like adultery, or you could say theft, or drug abuse or alcohol abuse or violence, these obvious outward sins, sins of the flesh. And then he says sins of the spirit, sins of disposition, things that don't seem so bad, but pride rules your life, fear rules your life, covetousness rules your life, a wicked tongue, gossip, slander. these things that can also rule a life, sin, staining, marking. What do you do with these things? How can that mark or stain of sin be cleansed? Where do we go? Who do we turn to? Well, John says we need to remember he has washed us in his own blood. He's the one who does it. We submit ourselves to the process. I believe it was A.W. Tozer who gave the illustration. If you wash your hands, it's not actually you washing your hands. The soap is what does the work. There's another part of that that actually does the job. You just rub it around. But if you just rub your hands around, they would just be germy hands. You need something that actually does the cleansing work. And we don't really cleanse ourselves. The blood of Jesus Christ is the solution that cleanses sin. The blood of Jesus Christ is what cleanses us. That's the thing that can remove the mark. That Greek word there, wash, means to bathe, actually. And it's used of bathing, cleansing dead bodies, and particularly bloody wounds. And it means the whole, as opposed to just a part. There's a different Greek word that speaks to the part. It means the whole thing needs to be washed. It's used when Jesus is speaking to his disciples at that first communion, and he says, I need to wash your feet. Peter says, no, not me. And he says, well, if I don't wash your feet, then you have no part with me. And then Peter's like, okay, my head, my hands, everything then. Wash my whole. And he says, no, you've already been washed. Just your feet need to be cleansed. Your whole has been washed, Peter. That's what it's used of Dorcas's dead body in the book of Acts, Tabitha, who died. They took her body and they washed it. It's used of Paul and Silas in jail, when they've been beaten, their stripes were cleansed by the Philippian jailer after he repents. They're washed. This is what the Lord does. He saves us. He loves us. And it's his desire to wash us in his blood. He doesn't love without washing. He knows sin is an alien element. It is not what he wanted in our lives. And he knows it leaves a mark, and he knows it stains. So he is willing to cleanse us. He isn't named Jesus for no reason. He was named Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And he cleanses us from our sins. We need to turn to him. Some people like Asa, King Asa, they seek to be washed, but they won't turn to God. They want their sins to be cleansed, but they don't want to have to turn to God to have their sins cleansed. Some people, like Ananias and Sapphira, want part of their sin cleansed, but not all of it. Just want to bring a little bit. Don't want the whole thing, actually, dealt with. Others, like the Pharisees, live without a conscious awareness of their wickedness, of their sinfulness. And so when Jesus makes it evident that they need to come to him for forgiveness or to be washed, it's an offense to them. And they see him as harsh and demanding. And if I'm a Christian who doesn't see my sin as something that defiles me, that's dirty, that needs to be washed away, then inevitably the Lord's going to seem demanding, harsh, overbearing. There are some people, like the leper, whose issues are so serious that they're just wondering, I don't know if Jesus will be willing to touch me. I don't know if he's willing to cleanse me. Maybe he'll defile himself. He wouldn't want to be dealing with my things. But this cup that we will take tonight, this cup is a reminder that Jesus loves us and he has washed us from our sins in his own blood. Sometimes we need to be reminded about that. You might be saved, but you have sin in your life and you felt its defiling effects. Maybe Satan's bringing your mind back there. The decisive factor in your life is not the filthiness of your sin. And there's some real filthy sin out there. There's some true, horrible, defiling sin out there. And many of us, it has had a part in our lives. But the decisive factor is not our sin. The decisive factor is the ability of Jesus' blood to wash your life. That's the decisive factor. Not just a part of it, the whole thing. Not just a piece, the whole thing. That's why we turn to him. That's why we come to him. And Jesus knows that we need the conscious awareness that we have been washed in his blood. Otherwise, we're going to be disheartened. Otherwise, we're just going to be looking around. And if we think we need to wash ourselves, we're going to see other people who don't seem so bad, and we're going to think our sin is way worse than them. No. Jesus knows what it takes to cleanse from sin. And so he brought a divine remedy, the blood of Jesus Christ. Who? Jesus Christ. The ultimate witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler of the kings of all the earth. His blood. And his blood is enough to wash you and to cleanse you, body, mind, and spirit. And he loves us, so he does that work. He knows you can't do it. He knows I can't do it. He knows there is no human effort that will do it. No amount of prayer, no amount of Hail Marys, no amount of marching around somewhere, no amount of good works, nothing else but the blood of Jesus Christ will wash you from sin. And this is a good reminder tonight. We take the cup, we take the bread, we're going to remember that he has loved us and he's washed us from our sins in his blood. And that is a good thing to remember. Amen? Amen. So I'm going to have the worship team come back out. I encourage you, don't believe Satan tonight, who might want you to think some memories or the impure nature of your sin is the decisive factor in your life. Jesus and his work and his blood is the decisive factor. So we're going to take a little while. We're going to praise him because he's worthy of that. So I'm going to pray. We'll turn the lights down and then let's give him the glory that he's deserving of. Lord Jesus, again, we come to you. We remember you here tonight. We remember again you loving us. And part of the way you loved us is that you washed us. You found us in our sin, stained by it, unable to do anything about it. But you, in your love and in your grace, were willing to make the necessary provision for cleansing. And we thank you, Lord, that that never changes. That you're always there, and that your blood is enough. No matter what our sin is, no matter how much it abounds, your grace can much more abound, and your blood is sufficient. So we remember you tonight, and we praise you as the one who is worthy of all honor, all glory, all dominion, and all praise. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
And to the sinner's ears it may sound strange. The freedom could be found in death and pain. Why sinless perfection took the blame? But hallelujah. For our pardon is salvation paid for at the highest cost, and our redemption gained at heaven's laws. Oh, hallelujah. What can wash away strong enough to stand against what love has done with outstretched hands. For now salvation flows for every man. Oh, hallelujah. And whosoever fire comes. burn away in purity.
Oh God, come, have your way.
And Savior, I come and quiet my soul and remember. And redemption's here where your blood was spilled for my everything I once held dear, I count it all as lost. And lead me to the cross where your love poured out. And bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. And rid me of myself. I belong to you, only me. Lead me to the cross. Where your love poured out.
bring me to my knees. Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself. I belong to you. Only me.
Oh, my soul longs, even faints for the courts of the Lord. Oh, my soul longs, even faints for the courts of the Lord.
As we move on, we'd just like to recognize the body of Christ as we continue to worship him, and we're encouraged to do that in Scripture as we remember him. He's linked us together by his blood in loving us the way he has. So as we sing the next song, if you're here tonight and maybe what we're remembering is what you need, maybe the enemy's been bringing up your past, your life, for Christ, just some sin that's been washed, and you don't need more of the blood of Christ. We just need more faith and more understanding of what he's actually already done for us. And you just need that. You just know, like, all right, Lord, just give me a greater measure of understanding and how you've washed me. I want that to be the thing that dominates my remembrance, not my remembrance of past sin. Or maybe it's just, you know, there's been times in life where maybe an attitude or thought or just something that is sinful that you just, like, Lord, I just want this cleansed from my life. I just tired of dealing with this thing. And you just want that work that he loves to do in us. If that's you during the next song, then I just encourage you to stand where you are in faith, just saying, Lord, I'm asking for my portion of these things. I know it's true, but I just want more of it in my life. Stand where you are, and I encourage those of you around, if you see somebody standing, you just go over, pray for them, ask the Lord's blessing on their heart and life. You don't have to ask them what it's about. You just know what he would like to do in them, and pray that God would open their understanding and their hearts to know his work, his cleansing work in our lives in a greater way. So while we sing this next song, if that's you, I encourage you, just stand where you are, and we'll pray for you. Father, we just lift our brothers and sisters here to you. You say there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And Lord, we know that if you wash us, we're washed indeed. We also know, Lord, the enemy is the accuser of the brethren. And he's a liar and a thief. So, Lord, I pray that you would just help the hearts and minds of our brothers and sisters here to lean on the truth from truth himself and not the word of a liar and a thief. So we just commit them to you. Guard their hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Fill them afresh with your Holy Spirit and let them know, Lord, your love and your sufficient work on their behalf in greater ways. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And I'd also just like to throw out again, just thinking the last teaching, those two men on the road to Emmaus, and they have that moment where they reach their home and it says Jesus makes as though he's going to go further and they constrain him to stay, and he does. He stays. But, you know, sadly, I think there is plenty of examples of those who have walked with Christ for a time, and then there comes a moment where they allow themselves to part, and they go a way that is distant. They allow him to keep going on his way. They don't constrain him to stay. And so if you here are here tonight and you have a prodigal, you have somebody you love, somebody that you know has had experience with Jesus, but at this point, they have gone separate ways. Certainly, again, not geographic. The Lord is wherever they are. If we make our bed on the uttermost parts of the sea, the scriptures say the Spirit's there with us. But relationally, they've allowed there to become distance. And you want to see that cleansing work of the Lord in their life, I encourage you, just stand. During this next song, where you are, those around you are going to come pray for you. If you want to give them the name of your loved one, you can do that. You don't have to. Certainly, if you're here tonight and you were a prodigal at some point, I encourage you, go ahead, pray for that person. And also, just encourage them, tell them, keep praying, trust in the Lord that he's faithful. But as we sing this next song, if that's you tonight, you have a prodigal, someone you love out there that you know is distant from the Lord, that you want to see close to him, then I encourage you to stand where you are for prayer.
And I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me, and all my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. So good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire and darkness. As a father, I know you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God.
Lord, again, we just lift our brothers and sisters here to you. Lord, we pray you strengthen them. Pray you give them wisdom. Pray you give them long-suffering and love, perseverance in praying, Lord. And certainly, Lord, we pray for those that they stood on behalf of. Again, you know where they are, Lord. They're not geographically distant from you. You are there. And we pray, Lord, that you would reconcile them to yourself and then reconcile them to those who love them and the fellowship, Lord, here. So, Lord, those that you have sent through, we pray you would send back. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can grab a seat. We're going to have the ushers now distribute the bread and the cup. So if you would, as they come and pass that out, encourage you, please just hold on to it. And once it seems like everyone has it, we'll pray and we'll partake together. So let's worship as they do that.
Yeah.
so great that it's overwhelming, so high,
so high,
so deep, so great is your love for me.
And how great is
your love.
And how great is
your
love for me.
And how great is your love. How great.
We're going to partake here together. Let's pray, and we'll take the bread. Lord Jesus, we thank you again for inviting us into your house. We were all lost, each going our own way, and you found us, willing to go into highways and byways. Found us early on the road and late on the road. And each of us, Lord, you love. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you were willing to come and take on a body, that it was your delight to do your Father's will. Thank you that you've showed us your love, that we can see you. We can see you loving siblings, parents, friends, disciples, loving your enemies, loving acquaintances, loving individuals, loving a crowd, taking kids up into your arms and blessing them, touching those who are sick and diseased, sitting with Pharisees and with sinners, rebuking your disciples' lack of faith and sticking with them all the way through the end, and giving yourself for us. So we thank you for showing us this. Thank you for being willing to come in the likeness of sinful human flesh. And certainly, Lord, I do pray, as we remember you, that you would help us not to love the world that hated you. The world that arrested you, the world that beat your face, ripped the beard out of your face, that spit on you and mocked you, put a crown of thorns on your head, whipped your back, mocked you, crucified you, spit in your face. Lord, we don't want to love the sin that you gave yourself for. We want to love you. So I pray, Lord, as we remember your body broken for us, that you would stir up in greater measure that appreciation for your own purpose and person in our lives. Let's take the bread. And now, Lord Jesus, this cup, the cup of a new covenant in your blood. Thank you what you've purchased on our behalf. Thank you, Lord, that you have made provision, that there is a fountain that we can be cleansed in, that our sin is not the deciding factor in our lives, that you can wash us, and have washed us so that we can be clean, that we can walk with you. And we look forward to the day, Lord, that because of your blood, you can present us faultless in glory, that you can save to the uttermost. So we remember, Lord, your blood shed for us. And we thank you that you've loved us and washed us from our sins in your blood. Let's take the cup. And certainly, Lord Jesus, as we close this night, lift our voices again in praise to you, we just pray, Lord, that you again would receive the glory that's due your name in our lives and in this fellowship. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to close with a couple songs. But I just want to throw out here again, if anybody's here tonight, maybe you just wandered in or a friend invited you or something, and you do not know whether you're saved. You don't know if you died tonight where you would go. Maybe you do know that your sins are not washed and forgiven. If you are a sinner and you need a Savior, there's a person named Jesus Christ. And he's the only one who shed his blood for you. And so he's the only one that can save you from the thing you need to be saved from, your sin and death. And he is risen, and he's coming again. Amen. And what we did tonight is just a reminder for the rest of us what he did for us until he comes again. So if you know that you need to give your life to Jesus Christ, I encourage you tonight, believe that Jesus is who he says he is. Believe that God the Father is satisfied in the work of Jesus Christ on the cross on your behalf, and give your life to him. And if you do that, I encourage you to come up afterwards. Tell us. Scripture says we need to believe in our heart and confess with our mouth. Believe in your heart, and he'll save you. And then confess with your mouth that you put your faith in him. But for the rest of us, let's sing a couple songs and then close.
Lost are saved, find their way at the sound of your great name. All condemned, feel no shame at the sound of your
I'm Creation cry. your heart.